So if you guys would, open your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 2. This is where we're going to find ourselves over the next couple of weeks. We are in the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And that'll be our scripture that we use. And if you have notes this morning, you might want to get it out so you can take some notes. I may share some things today that you want to go look up and research yourself. I'm curious, by a show of hands, who here uses GPS when you are traveling? Jolie still uses MapQuest. How many millennials remember MapQuest? Okay. That's how us folks got around was MapQuest. And we ditched those maps. We ditched those maps and got MapQuest. And then today we have GPS. It's in our pocket all the time. Did you know that Google now gives walking directions? So like for some major malls, you can open up and type in, and it'll tell you exactly how to walk. If you're in Walmart, kids, this is important for you. If you're in Walmart and you get lost, because I know how big of a store it is, okay? Listen, I used to hide in the clothes racks, and I would have to go up and ask them to page my mom, because I never knew where she was in Walmart. And now you have this nice fancy thing that you can go to Find My, and you can find people, and if I were to click on Alicia's name, it's going to find nearby.
Not if you have the Android.
Well, buy an iPhone. It says my person, okay, it tells me she is 14 feet to my left, and I literally just follow this arrow. So that's how cool GPS is today. I've used that before just to find my wife. What's that? So if she wants to get away, she can get away. So anyways, I use GPS all the time, whether or not I need it. And there's a few reasons why, because if the road is closed, what does GPS automatically do? It detours you, reroutes you, right? Sometimes it takes you the dumbest possible route, and you're like, why are they doing that? And you scroll and you look at the road, and there's an accident that's going to take time to close. And you're like, oh, that makes sense. So we've all been there. Who's been on a road trip and driven past, and you said, stop and get directions? Anybody? Or is that just, you know, the older generation? I remember times when you just turned and you'd have to ask, and you'd get directions like, well, at the big dead tree at the T intersection, you turn north and you go 3 miles and the house is on your right or whatever. And GPS, it just fixes that for us. We don't even have to talk to people now to find to where we're going. GPS guides us. It shows us every turn we have to make. And it even will reroute us when there's an unexpected closure or an accident or something that is preventing us from getting to where we didn't go, because why? We don't know it's there. We don't have the foresight to know that it's there, do we? How does GPS? I don't really know. They have figured it out. They've got, even in New Sharon, if you look at GPS in the afternoon or in the morning, when everybody's going to school, our main road is yellow, which means it's heavy traffic. And then on this side road up here on Depot, it'll be red sometimes because all the high school students are trying to get home at the end of school. It'll show you how busy traffic is. And so the idea behind GPS is it keeps you on track to your destination. Well, Pastor, how does this tie in to today's sermon? Well, let me tell you. Did you know that prayer is our spiritual GPS? Amen. Prayer is our spiritual GPS. In the early church in Acts chapter 2, they were devoted to it. Not just as individuals, but together as the early church, as the community, they joined together to seek direction from the Lord. The early church laid out a foundation of what it was to be devoted to prayer. And listen, the early church, they were not navigating life alone. We talked about this last week and a couple weeks prior about going through life alone. We are not meant to go through life alone, right? We are to be together. We are not supposed to be isolated, but rather together. They prayed and God directed them. And just like how GPS keeps us moving forward, keeps us on track to our destination. Prayer kept the early church aligned with God's plan, which led to miraculous growth and unity, and the same thing is for us today. There should have been a lot more excitement in the room than there was. Now, you've probably experienced moments when you needed clear direction. We've all had something come up where we're unclear, we don't understand, when we're trying to work through something that took place, or we're trying to decide, do I go to this college? Do I go to do this? Do I do that? And I remember a time early on with my walk with the Lord, I was going through my first time fasting. Does anybody else remember their first fast when they were a Christian? It was pretty powerful to me. It pretty well cemented the idea of fasting being a lifestyle. And we just came off that series, so if you don't remember, guess what? It's on our website, engagechurch.life/sermons. And you can go and you can listen to those. But there was a time in my life when I was seeking after the Lord, my first time through fasting and prayer, and He gave me some pretty clear answers, pretty clear directions, to the point where it was confirmation and really had a part in helping me take steps of faith that essentially would lead me here today. The Lord speaks when we seek. Amen. The Lord will answer us when we seek after Him. So here's what that prayer did in that time of fasting and seeking after the Lord. It strengthened my faith. Just as it did the early believers, they found strength through their constant devotion to prayer. When we pray, we are empowered by the Spirit, we are equipped, and we are on the same wavelength as the Lord Himself. So prayer is our spiritual GPS. And in fact, there's probably times that I am unaware of, because I've only been here for so long. I'm sure many of you could testify to more. But I remember back in our church, we've seen this kind of prayerful devotion at work. Who remembers when we went through the Acts 2 journey? A handful of us, okay? So the Acts 2 journey helped us kind of refocus and get a very pinpointed idea of where we were going as a body. And around that time, we launched small groups. Anybody remember small groups? There were several individuals who hosted small groups in their home, and I can't speak to them because I didn't go to them. I was at the one that Alicia and I hosted, and so I'm speaking from my perspective. In our small group, we had Ed and Dixie Collier, and I remember a very particular night that we got to see a couple of lives forever transformed in our small group. We were able to pray. We saw these individuals surrender their hearts to God, and we were a tight-knit small group. We lifted each other up in prayer. We had a text chain that we were able to communicate with each other through the week. And the point of sharing all of this is what happens when people are fully committed to seeking after the Lord in prayer. Amen. This is what happens when the body comes together and joins together in unity and in prayer. The early church treated prayer like first responders treat an emergency. Have you ever seen our first responders race up to the fire station when they get a call? It's immediate, it's urgent, and it's necessary. This is how the early church treated prayer. They didn't hesitate to turn to God, and as a result, guess what? They saw Him move powerfully amongst their midst in the early church. And the grand result of that, what was it? The Lord added to their numbers daily. Amen. The Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved. And so as a church, what would it look like if Engaged Church, if Amanda Braden, if Johnny, if Doug, if we said we are going to dive in, we are going to devote ourselves to prayer, we are going to be committed to prayer. I'm not suggesting that you guys don't pray, okay? That's not where that was going. I just realized that as I was talking. That may have been a bad way to leave that. But if we committed to prayer with the same urgency, that same devotion, Could it be that we would see God moving in ways that we have never seen Him move before? Could it be that we would see God move in ways that we have never imagined? Could it be that we would see Him add to our numbers daily, just like He did in Acts 2? I say, come, Lord Jesus. More. I want more of that. I love all of you, but look at all the empty seats. There's a lot more love that can go around.
Amen.
I'm going to stand in protest here in a minute. So church, let's get ready to read our scripture, Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. We're going to look at the early church's devotion, and we're going to ask this question of ourselves. Are we praying occasionally? Are we praying out of when we need to or because we were taught to? Or are we devoted to prayer the same way the early church was? Let's read our scripture this morning. Acts 2, 42 through 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
Amen.
That doesn't say that, Emma, you were doing such a great job. You were bringing tons of people into the church. That says that because of their devotion and obedience, the Lord added to their number every single day. So church, are we that devoted to prayer that we're opening the door for the Lord to add to our number daily? See, the early church, they lived in a way that was radical and life-giving by most standards. But they set the tone for what it was. I'm going to provide some scriptural evidence for you today of this devotion. So, as a refresher, so we're going to go through scriptural evidence, and then we're going to go through historical evidence. So, as a refresher, just so we're all on the same page, the Greek words meaning for devotion is to be steadfastly attentive or unwavering. Unwavering. So, let's answer the question of how was the early church devoted to prayer? Now, if we want to understand what it truly means to be devoted to prayer, we need to look at the example of the early church. In Acts 2:42, it tells us that they devoted themselves to prayer, to the prayers, and this wasn't just an occasional practice. It wasn't something that was just done. It was a core part of their faith. Just like having faith in Jesus is a core part of our salvation, prayer is a core part of our faith. In fact, the early church, they prayed everywhere, not just in the temple, but also in their homes. We get that from what we just read in Acts 2. And they didn't confine themselves to praying only in private moments. They gathered publicly, and they also gathered privately to seek after the Lord. And if you want to look that up, that's Acts chapter 5, verse 42. They didn't only pray privately, they also prayed publicly. And when challenges came, guess what they did? They prayed. When they faced challenges, they prayed. In Acts chapter 4, 24 through 31, we see the early church lifting their voices in unity, asking for boldness. And guess what happened? God shook the place, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Because they were devoted to prayer. Prayer wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't a last resort. It's not like when you cut your finger open and when you're slicing a head of lettuce. Who knows, you're not supposed to cut the butt out of the lettuce. You're supposed to bang it on the counter and just pull it out. Ask me how I know. Right after we got married, we were making tacos. I took this big old knife and jammed it in the butt and I sliced my thumb. Alicia couldn't do. So Teresa and John, they lived just a few miles away from us that time. We had to have Mama Moses come over and she had to help my finger. And I think I ended up super gluing it, didn't I? I super glued it shut because I was like, I'm not going to go to the doctor. But sometimes duct tape doesn't hold it anymore. Sometimes super glue doesn't hold it. And sometimes you got to find your way to the doctor as the last resort. Let's not make prayer the last resort. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay? So it was central to the early church in every major decision they made. In fact, we see in Acts chapter 1, when the disciples were replacing Judas, what did they do? They prayed and they cast lots. They were seeking the Lord to see who would replace Judas as one of the disciples. We also see it in Acts chapter 13. As the early church, they were praying and seeking the Lord's will, and he said, "Set apart for me Saul and Barnabas for the plan for which I have for them." And the Lord sent them out of that place. They were seeking after the Lord in the early church. That's Acts 13, if you want to read it, verses 2 and 3. We even see it in persecution. They turned to prayer. The early church knew how to pray. When Peter was thrown in jail, the church didn't panic. Now, they all locked themselves up to protect themselves, but they prayed. And that comes from Acts chapter 12, verses 5 through 12. And then even in death, even facing death, they prayed. And we get this from Stephen, when Stephen was being stoned in Acts chapter 7, verses 59 through 60. Stephen's final breath, guess what it was? A prayer. So what does all of this tell us? All of this tells us is that the early church depended on prayer. It wasn't a ritual. It was their lifeline. It was their lifeline. If we want to see God move in our lives, if we want to see God move in our church, if we want to see God move in our community, guess what? Engaged church has to follow the example of the early church and become a people devoted to prayer. That might be uncomfortable for some of you, but we all have to start somewhere. Don't we? See, the early believers, they didn't just pray, but rather their prayer defined them. And it wasn't limited just to the book of Acts. All of my examples just came from the book of Acts. But it wasn't limited to the books of Acts. We see it throughout Scripture. But it shaped the church for generations. And this is where the historical evidence comes in. Because history confirms what Scripture reveals. We hear it in Scripture, but now I'm going to provide historical evidence that confirms with us the importance of prayer in the early church. The early church, the first Christians, prayer became a daily practice. It was part of their everyday practice, like putting your pants on every day, brushing your teeth every day, combing your hair, whatever it is, we all have a daily practice, do we not? You're all here, so our daily practice is to get out of bed. Okay? Let's go with something we all likely did this morning, was get out of bed. It was a daily practice for them. They gathered in homes, they sought God before any decisions, and then even interceded for one another in times of crisis. Even outside of the Bible, early Christian writings and archaeology reveal just how central prayer was in their daily lives. This is where you're going to want to take some notes to research some of this. We have found evidence that they prayed at specific times each day, gathered in homes for worship, and even risked their lives under persecution just to pray together. And here's where that evidence comes from. See, the early believers didn't just pray because they felt like it. Their devotion to prayer was deeply rooted in their history, in their culture, and even the challenges they faced. First and foremost, they followed the Jewish tradition of daily prayer. Who knows the Jewish historian Josephus? Has anyone heard Josephus? Some of us have. Okay. So the Jewish historian Josephus, he recorded how devout Jews prayed at set times every day. And would you know that the early Christians, they continued this practice as they transitioned into this new faith in Christ that was centered on Christ. They kept that tradition of praying three times per day. We also see this reflected in the earliest Christian writings outlined outside of the Bible, rather. Does anyone know what that is? I had my computer pronounce it for me last night because I knew I wasn't going to say D-I-D-A-C-H-E. Didache is what it... I think it said Didache. D-A-D-A-C-H-E. The Didache was written around A.D. 50 to A.D. 70, and it was also known as, this is the easier way to remember it, the teaching of the 12 apostles. It was the teaching of the 12 apostles. And the Didache is an early Christian document providing instruction on how Christian life, on Christian worship, and Christian morality. It instructed believers to pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day. And so this shows us that they were structured, they were disciplined in prayer, and it was part of their daily walk with the Lord. We have to have food to survive, do we not? Can I submit to you that we have to have prayer to survive in our spiritual walk with the Lord? Where did they pray? Is the second question. Where did they pray? They prayed in homes. They prayed in the temple. And in fact, Paul mentions house churches in Romans chapter 16, verse 5. He also mentions the house church in Colossians chapter 4, verse 15. And we have uncovered archaeological evidence that confirms that early Christians met in homes for worship and prayer. Now, my Bible tells us that. Why do we need to know that? Because it helps cement what this says, because we have found it as truth in the wild, if you will. We have found it as truth. And so we have found evidence that they met in their homes for worship and prayer. And one example of that is a site in Dura, Europo. So D-U-R-A and then E-U-R-O-P-O-S. Duo Europos. It's an ancient city in the country of Syria where archaeologists uncovered one of the earliest known house churches from dated around A.D. 232. So they have found one of the earliest house churches, and inside of it, they found what they call a dedicated prayer room, proving that prayer was central to the life and the gatherings of the early church. And then, let's not forget that we also said that the early church prayed under persecution. Writers like Tertullian, T-E-R-T-U-L-L-I-A-N. He was a North African Christian writer from around A.D. 197. He recorded how Christians prayed in persecution. And then you have Pliny, P-L-I-N-Y, Pliny the Younger. Younger, like you are younger than me. Pliny the Younger, he was a Roman governor who wrote to Emperor Trajan, T-R-A-G-A-N. Sorry, I know we feel like we're in school, but hang tight with me. Pliny the Younger wrote to Emperor Trajan in A.D. 112, so A.D. 112, and he recorded and told the emperor how Christians would meet in secret, often before dawn, to pray together despite the threat of arrest, exile, or even death. I think we can agree today that the early church was devoted to prayer. And if they were that devoted to prayer, how important is it for us to be devoted to prayer today? So what do we do with this? What does all of this tell us? Well, we can agree that the early church wasn't casual about prayer. It was their lifeline. It was their foundation. And it was their source of strength. And if prayer was that essential for them, I submit to you today, it should be more essential for us today. Prayer was the very heartbeat of the church. Is it ours? See, if we want to see God move in our church, if we want to see God move in our community, we must follow the example of the early church. We don't need to rewrite how things work. Let's get back to basics. Let's get back to what we know that works. What we've heard today tells us that both history and Scripture confirm that prayer was the foundation of the early church. But what about us? In 1,000 years, when they dig up your home, are they going to find a prayer room? When they uncover the dirt that sits over this church, are they going to find a church that was devoted to prayer? Are we as devoted to prayer as the early church was? So if we want to see God move in our lives, if we want to see God move in our families, we want to see God move in this body, in this church, in these four walls, we must embrace the same commitment to prayer that the early church had. So what does that look like today? What does that look like today? It means that prayer must not be a routine. We don't go after it. Now, okay, well, you just said that the document, the dash, said that they were to pray the Lord's Prayer 3 times a day. There's a difference between I'm praying before every meal because that's been ingrained in me that I have to bless the food before I eat it versus intentional time where I'm spending time in the Lord's presence. Not where I'm just saying words to say I prayed, but rather communion with the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? So it needs to not be a routine in that sense, but instead make it your foundation. Make it a foundation. The early church prayed consistently. They sought God's direction before every decision. They interceded for one another, and they relied on prayer in every trial. Who's walking a trial this morning? Whether or not you're raising your hand, if you're walking a trial, I submit to you, pray. And then pray some more. And then call some fellow believers and say, hey, can you jump on and pray with me? When they prayed, God moved. And I believe that God has the same response to prayer today as He did then. When we pray, God moves. So let's be a people of prayer. Let's be a people who pray daily together. Let's be a people who pray in every circumstance that comes our way. When we do the same, guess what? We are aligning ourselves with His will, and we are inviting His power to move freely in our lives. Who could use a good dose of the power of God, the Creator, in your life? Who could use a dose of His power in your family? I know there's more than 3 of us, right? The same God who moved in the book of Acts is still moving today. The same power that filled those early believers, guess what? It's available to us now. It is available to us today. But we have to seek Him. We have to seek Him. We have to be intentional. We have to desire Him. So, church, I'm asking, can we commit ourselves to prayer? Not just on Sundays, but every day. Let us be a church. Let Engage Church be a church that is known for our devotion to prayer, just like the early church was. Because where there is much prayer, you can write this down. This is a really good sentence. Because where there is much prayer, there is much activity of the Holy Spirit. And where there is much activity of the Holy Spirit, guess what? There is much prayer. Let me repeat that. Because where there is much prayer, there is much activity of the Holy Spirit. And where there is much activity of the Holy Spirit, there is much prayer. So, church, today we've seen how the early church were completely devoted to prayer. It wasn't just an event. It wasn't something that they did just to do. It's something that they lived. It was a lifestyle. They did it every single day. They sought God together. They prayed through challenges together. They interceded for others. And they trusted Him in every season of life. And church, you know that's exactly the kind of church that we're called to be. Here at Engage Church, our mission, it's quite clear, isn't it? We all know what it is, engaging our community for Jesus. There's no greater way to engage our community than through prayer. There's no greater way. Seeking God's heart, interceding for those around us, and inviting the Holy Spirit to move in our community. See, when we pray, we position ourselves to be used by God, to be able to reach those who don't yet know Him. When we pray, we align ourselves with His mission. So let's be a church devoted to prayer. Stacy, if you want to come up here. Today's going to look a little bit different. I know that everybody loves when I throw curveballs, but our ending's going to be a little bit different here. But let's be a church devoted to prayer. Not just to praying when it's convenient. We don't just pray during service because, well, that's what we're supposed to do. But instead, let's make it the foundation of everything we do. Because when we engage in prayer, we will truly engage our community for Jesus. It all starts with prayer. So if you guys would, just bow your heads, close your eyes, just sit where you're at here. We'll just take a moment here before we move on to what we're doing today. And Stacy, some of this could be for the worship team as well. I forgot to communicate that for you. So if anybody from the worship team feels led as we move on here, please step away from the music and take part in what the Lord's doing. Today, maybe you're here and you're hearing about all of this and what prayer and how the early believers were completely devoted to prayer. It wasn't just an event. It was a lifestyle. See, they sought God together. They prayed through challenges. They interceded for others, and they trusted Him in every season. I believe I've already said that. But this is the church that we are called to be. So maybe today you're here, and you've had this realization that maybe you've prayed, but there's a lack of connection. There is no connection with God. You've heard about this power of prayer, but you realize now that you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus. Do you want to know the good news? The good news is that you can. You can have that personal relationship with Him. Because prayer is not about speaking words into the air. It's about a relationship with the God who made you, who loves you, and sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. Romans 5:8 tells us, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And my dirtiness, and my depravity, and my wickedness, what made me a failure as a person, Christ went to the cross and died for. There was no goodwill for me. There was no righteous act that He went and did that. While I was in the depth of my sin, Christ died for me. Church, I'm here to tell you, He died for you as well. That this means that before we ever earned it, which we can't earn it, but before we could ever earn it, before we could fix ourselves, who knows that when we try to fix ourselves, we break ourselves even further. Before we could fix ourselves, Jesus made a way for us to be saved. And I want you to know that He is inviting you today into that relationship. See, salvation isn't about religion. This isn't about rules. It's about knowing Christ Jesus. And if you've never made that decision, today you have an opportunity to do so. Scripture tells us in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It's that simple. So this morning, each one of us, we have a chance right now if you're ready to surrender your life to Jesus, if you're ready to turn from sin, if you're ready to follow Him, I want to lead you in a simple prayer. This prayer isn't magic. It's not about the words. It's just a way for us to express what's taking place in our heart this morning. So if you're here and you would like to make that commitment to the Lord Jesus this morning, would you raise your hand? Church, would you join together with me and say this prayer together? Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, a place that I deserve to be. You have made a way through your death and resurrection for my sins to be forgiven. So, Lord, forgive me. Bring me into your presence. Change my life from this moment forward to live solely for you. I dedicate at this time my heart, my mind, my soul, and my body to you. It is all yours, Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Whether this was new or a dedication, there was an individual who responded this morning and said, I need the Lord Jesus in my life. And I will forever always ask for salvation call. There won't be a sermon that I won't do this, because it's moments like these where people say, you know what, Lord, I have walked away from this and I need to come back. And so praise the Lord for that one person this morning. We thank you for your boldness and raising your hand and saying, hey, I need this. So church, we've talked today. We've talked about being a people devoted to prayer. We've talked about what it looks like. Guess what we're going to do today? We're going to activate that devotion. We're going to activate what we just talked about. We as a church, we're not going to talk about prayer. We're going to commit to making prayer a priority in our church. So that's why this morning I am excited to announce that every month that has a fifth Sunday, this month, the end of this month, this Sunday, we are going to start having a dedicated corporate prayer service in place of Sunday school. No Sunday schools for any ages. We will join as a body of believers, as the early church did, in this sanctuary, and we are going to corporately join together in prayer. We're going to gather for prayer together. We're going to prepare our hearts for the service that's coming. We're going to intercede for our church. We're going to intercede for our community. And we're going to intercede for the world. Why did I do it every month that has the fifth Sunday? Because right now it's minimal commitment. We have to start somewhere. I don't want you to jump so far in that your head's underwater and you don't have the strength to maintain. Who knows, to become a strong swimmer, you got to learn how to doggy paddle first. We're going to start stretching some prayer muscles. And we're going to start developing this devotion to prayer as a church. But guess what? We're not waiting until the fifth Sunday to start. We're beginning right now. With that, I would like to invite Deb Gurman to come up and to lead us in a prayer this morning, that God would move in the lives, that He would speak to our church. You can just raise your hand where you're at. You can join in prayer. Thank you.
Prayer is more than a task. It's more than something to check off. It's a privilege and an honor. So this morning, we're going to pray together and lift up our church family. Look around. We're all related because of Jesus' blood. This is our family. And there's a responsibility that comes with that to pray for one another, to love one another. So will you just join with me as we pray together? Father, we just thank you. This morning we've had the opportunity to adore you, to praise you, to thank you, to bring petitions before you. And Father, we just pray that we're able to worship in spirit and in truth. Your word tells us that we need to do this. Father, teach us what that means. Father, I pray that we cling to our first love. The word tells us over and over, return to your first love. And we can only do that because he first loved us. Jesus, thank you for first loving us. You've shown us how to love. Now, Father, ingrain that in us, that we may be able to take this concept home and begin to pray one for another in true love. There's a song that says, Lord, they'll know us by our love. We are Christians, and they'll know us by our love. Father, I pray that that becomes our trademark. That becomes your seal on this church, that we are known in this community, in this church, even in this church, that we are loved. Father, we have so many people that are involved in different ministries. I think of the nursery and the nursery workers. I think of the children and the Sunday school and the kids' church. Father, for teens, for the Sunday school class that we have volunteers for all the adults that attend a Sunday school class. Father, I pray for our pastor and our and his family. Father, for all of these different ministries, Lord, I pray your favor upon them, Lord. I pray your protection on our children, Father. Protect their hearts, protect their minds, Father. I pray your guidance and your discernment. These are things that you've offered to us, Lord. Father, I pray that we're able to grab a hold of them, begin to believe them and apply them. These are just more than words, Father. This is what you've shown us in Acts, how we're to be. Father, I pray for unity among us. We want to thrive and bear fruit. There's so much diversity in here, but Father, we're not divided. Father, I pray for unity. Father, I pray for the sensitivity to your Holy Spirit. Father, I know so many times, Lord, this sanctuary is my haven for your Spirit to minister to me. So, Father, I know that same ministry is available to every single person here this morning. Father, I pray there's an open invitation for the Holy Spirit to be in our midst every single Sunday. And, Father, carry that to our homes. Father, I pray that your Spirit ministers to us mightily when we're in our homes. Father, stir in us and muster up our gifts. Father, I pray for a desire for your leading, for the Holy Spirit's teaching, for the love for his word. Father, I pray that that would just overcome us, Lord, that that would truly become our bread of life. Father, I pray that you would activate a deep desire in us to serve one another. We are family. Father, we are a priority in one another's lives. Father, teach us what that means. Give us servant hearts for one another. And Father, as we stand together as one in Christ Jesus, Father, I pray when the time comes, we'll be found faithful. I pray that in Jesus' name this morning for our families. Amen.
I'd like to have Joel come and lead us in a prayer for our community. And if you would, just raise your hand in agreement with this. Joel is going to pray that God would move in the lives of those who don't yet know him. That our church would be a light in the darkness. And that the Spirit would stir hearts towards salvation. That is all something that we can agree to. Amen? Let's pray.
Lord, you're the great and awesome God. You keep your covenant of love to those who love you, and we keep your commandments. Lord, you are righteous, but we are covered with shame. We have sinned. Father, be merciful to us. On behalf of our community, God, we repent Father, we repent of our unfaithfulness to you. We repent of our complacent spirit for allowing the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires of other things to make our love grow cold. Father, we repent for our proud spirit, for our inability to unite because of our pride in our hearts, our thinking that we can do everything on our own. We need nothing from you. God, we repent. God, cause us to hunger and to thirst for righteousness and for your word. Lord, it is our weapon. And Lord, give us a desire for the fullness of your spirit. Give us a desire to see the lost saved and to nurture those who are new to the faith. Lord, heal the sick, restore the broken. God, we pray for those who are weary and need rest. Lord, may we find peace and rest in the shadow of your wings. Father, we need you. God, we plead your blood over our local churches. We plead your blood over our school, its leaders, its administration, its staff, over the students, that they may fear your name. God, we pray for our church leaders in this community for strategic wisdom in administering your grace to those whom they serve. Father, we pray for a stirring of your Holy Spirit that through your kindness would lead us to repentance. God, give our community a loyalty to your word, to prayer, to fellowship with one another. Father, we know you're not finished with New Sharon. And God, we do not make requests because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. And God, we are called to carry a cross. It's a burden that we share. And God, within this community, I pray that by bearing that cross, others would see you. Lord, may we suffer well. We are called to fellowship with you and to fellowship in your sufferings. God, it may lead others to know you. Many of us in this room, Lord, see the nitty-gritty details of our community, whether it's the brokenness and the hurting in the schools, whether it's the challenges we see in families. God, we see the good, the bad, and the ugly. And God, we know you do too. So I pray on behalf of those who need a Savior. I pray, Father, that we would be that beacon of hope. May we once again be the thriving community that many of us remember. Lord, hear our prayer this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Finally, I'd like to invite my prayer partners that I reached out to this week to be available for prayer at the altar here. This morning we're going to open the altars for prayer for anyone of need. Whether it's for healing over your body, whether it's direction in your life, whether it's you need breakthrough in your life. Braden, if it's because you need protection of the Lord as you travel on your mission trip, sorry to call you specifically out, but we want to pray with you as well. Myself, Alicia, and those represented up here, we want to lay hands on you. We want to pray. We want to ask for the Holy Spirit to be upon you. Scripture tells us in James chapter 5, verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with the oil in the name of the Lord. We have anointing oil up here, prayer team, if you need to use some as you're praying for people. But if you have a need this morning, if you need prayer for any reason, I don't care if it's you kicked your bed this morning getting out and you bent your toenail back. I know it hurts. I don't care. I want you to come to the Lord. Can I get an amen? So if you need prayer for any reason this morning, come and we will seek the Lord and we will pray to the Lord over your situations. So as the worship team plays, and if we need to stop worship, we can. But let's step into this next moment. Let's step out in faith and let's commit this morning ourselves to prayer, believing that when we seek Him, guess what? He moves. Amen. Amen.